Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Good Wednesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer and David Faber. Pre-market is taking a December CPI in stride. 0.5 on headline is a little warm, but it's another month of sequential month-on-month decline, some cooling in services and energy. You got the 10-year yield close to a one-week low. Our roadmap begins with Inflation Watch. Consumer prices do climb year-on-year 7%. That matches the fastest pace in nearly four decades. We'll dig into the data.
Plus, calming the tech stock turmoil, the Nasdaq is coming off 2 days of gains and eyeing a third ahead of the open. We're also watching financials. Bank stocks bucking the downtrend. Last week, investors betting that looming interest rate increases will fuel further profits. We'll also talk a bit about big bonus season, Carl.
Indeed. We'll dig into CPI here and look at some of the internals. There is some softening, Jim, internally, although energy was a big help. Offsetting right. Airfares and used cars.
Look, I think that what I'm seeing is numbers that we thought. I mean, year over year, we had 4.5% increase in wages. Here we have 7. I mean, that's why Powell has to do something. I mean, it's overriding what the people he really represents, the regular person. It's really overriding how much they're making. So, and I think that a lot of what's really up is not really calculated as well in there. It'd be like dinner is up a great deal. I mean, just up huge. Going out, this is up gigantically. So, I mean, he's got to find some way to do it. I thought what was great was when he testified yesterday, he just said, look, yeah, we're going to take care of it. And he did not say lockstep. He did not say we're in trouble. All the things that I heard from the really rich hedge fund managers, that he would just come in and just be, you know what, David, this is the end, and we're going to, like, kill inflation now. He didn't do that because that's not his style. Why do they not understand his style?
What don't they understand about his style?
They keep thinking about he's the same Jay Powell as when he first came in, where, you know, he would tell anybody that he saw lockstep before. I mean, he learned.
He did. You think he learned through that period where they were raising and perhaps should not have been
right.
In, I guess it was 19, I always forget 19, at this point, 18.
2018?
Yeah.
Yeah,
18.
I mean, look, it's possible. Why isn't it possible that someone said, wow, you know what, that was, Carl, that wasn't a good idea. I'm not going to do that again. Well, you know, people don't just stick. I should say, Jay Powell has shown an ability to change. And so he went to Congress. You know, he didn't call anybody a moron.
Nope. Dr. Fauci did. But the bond market, clearly, Jim, 171 and change is not telegraphing any angst about Powell's direction. And, you know, you mentioned food costs. We have a Powell bite, but I'd rather hear the Domino's bite, which yesterday said they expect food costs to rise 3 to 4 times a normal year. Take a listen.
We certainly don't see inflation slowing down in our business. You know, we take a look at our food basket, you know, as you mentioned, you know, we see an 8 to 10% increase in the food basket 2022 relative to 2021. And we also see continued wage inflation across the marketplace as well as we look forward this year.
All right. So that's not used cars. That's the fear of this getting more entrenched.
Right. I mean, this is it. This is the real life. I went to the diner and I couldn't believe the prices. I ordered from Domino's. It was too high. But the one thing I would say is some of these guys are creative. Wingstop. So they go to Thighstop. You know, Domino's will get the avatar. They'll make it so it's easy, or just one less person. They'll have the self-driving car, David.
They'll figure out a way to keep the margin.
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
That's why Rich Allison, who is money good, is not someone I'd bet against right here.
And or be able to continue to keep prices at a level where they don't decrease the number of people who can actually afford to regularly buy pizza?
I think at this pace, if it keeps going up, no, it'll be bad. It will be bad.
But you seem to think it's going to work, that Powell will succeed here, that inflation will calm down.
I think that,
but we won't a year from now be sitting here with a up 7% print or whatever the number is.
When you hear how many people are, you know, which every day some firm comes out and says, listen, we're just going to fire you if you don't go back to work. Well, they're not going to be fired. They're going to go back to work. I think more people, he's saying, I listen to Powell, and I think he kind of said, listen, when people start going back to work and Omicron passes, you're going to see some lowering in prices. And I thought that was very good common sense.
They're going to have to go back to work soon because we're running out of workers at this point.
Well, and their stock holdings are losing some value. We don't have stimulus checks rolling out this year like we did last year. Credit card revolving balance in November up $20 billion, biggest monthly jump since 2006. There's going to be bills to pay, and you need a job to pay it.
Yes, I think that's a really good point. A lot of what's happened last year was that you could stay home. That you didn't have your some of these everyday costs were broken. Look at SoFi. I mean, you know, the student loans get away from it. Now, if you have to start paying for things, then what happens is you got to go to work. You can't just stay home. You can't just opt for it. I also think, by the way, when you see these companies say, listen, we're going to fire you, it's almost as if they're thinking that, geez, you know, our insurance is going to go up big. One of our great variable costs, if too many people get sick from Omicron. And they don't say that. But anyone who's ever run a company where you have two or three people who get really sick, and then you get your premium, and your premium's up, I think these guys aren't talking enough about how their premium's going up because there's people who won't get vaccinated. It does matter.
All right. So if we assume that the Fed has this under control and the market's baking it all in, is that why the Nasdaq is coming off the best one-day performance in a while here? You got the Nasdaq up, what, 600 points in 2 days?
I think that's right. I mean, we go back to looking at valuations. I mean, you know, there's people who are making, I thought the PayPal call, I should put the savage PayPal call, that was made by Jefferies today. I'm going to quote that. It says, the poor optics of downgrading when the stock's down 40% off the highs is not lost on us. I mean, I think a lot of people say, okay, look, these stocks are down 40, 50%. Find me one that I can get behind. Get me Intuit, which isn't down that much. Or get me ServiceNow. I think people are going back. They want these cloud names, David, but they want cloud names that are making money. They're not looking for SPACs.
No, they're not. But I mean, a lot of the cloud names even now sport multiples that are high,
but they're
perhaps high given their ability to grow earnings.
But
not that
they
high.
They are but on earnings.
Right.
Not on the ones that are on sales. No, not really coming back.
We do have upgrades today of DoorDash and Shopify. And I know you saw the Barclays upgrade of Snowflake.
Yeah.
Yes. But Snowflake is the only one that I have said you can buy on sales. And that's Frank Slootman. Hey, I read Slootman's book. You ought to read it.
I haven't
David.
Read it. No. I don't think I will.
It's not like a page turner like the book about the Sacklers or anything.
Yeah, I'm not going to read it.
No, it's more his book is really about how using data lakes.
Mm.
You know, like not like Crater Lake, which is beautiful.
Data lakes of data.
Lakes of data.
Yes.
But, you know,
yeah.
Renting the cloud. I mean, it's a better business model than anybody else has. And Slootman is famous for being taking no prisoners. He's a TNP guy.
He is.
So I like that one. But I don't like a lot of the other stuff that's kind of amorphous, you know, amorphous names.
So you're still hanging with the names that you've hung with all the way
through. I'm hanging with Workday. I'm hanging with Salesforce.
You're hanging with Workday. You're hanging with Salesforce.
Yes,
you're hanging with NVIDIA. You're hanging with AMD. You're hanging with Ford.
They all have earnings.
Right.
Ford's even not even that expensive.
I mean, I'm not saying Ford's a tech company, these days, given it,
I think Ford's
the
one.
It's had.
I think Ford's the one.
How about North American Truck of the Year, Bronco, SUV of the Year yesterday at the North American Auto Show?
But that made sense. I think my Maverick should have been, but that's okay.
Man, why don't you just take your victory lap here and step to the side? I mean, this is one of your best calls you've had in a long time.
Because I think Jim Farley's a different kind of guy. Ford versus Ferrari.
Take
he wins.
A breather.
In my Omniverse movie that I'm making,
yes,
Ford wins, beats Ferrari. By the way, isn't like Jonas likes Ferrari?
I was just going to ask you.
Your Omniverse movie that you're making.
Sell on Ford.
Even yesterday, Think of the EV race, this is Jonas, as a marathon. Tesla's in the lead at mile 21. Everyone else is at mile 2 or still tying their shoes. How is that positive for everybody else?
Well, we had a piece
today. We should point out again, this is the analyst at Morgan Stanley we've had on, we like, and who has
been... Entertainer.
And has been...
He's like Cedric the Entertainer, Jonas the Entertainer.
He also was having an existential crisis a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, my God, was that just played out?
Yeah, we were worried about him.
I know.
Death of an analyst.
I thought it
was good, but
you think it was Klonopin, or do you think he needed something heavier?
I don't know, but he's okay. He's fine.
He's a guy. Thankful. I mean,
he likes Ferrari. He loves Ferrari.
He loved why for Ferrari.
And he clearly loves Tesla.
Klonazepam.
Do you think Tesla's at mile 21 while everybody else is at mile 2?
I don't know. I mean, those markers, the last time I saw them were like in the Keys. You know, you got the marker 1, and, you know, I think he stopped at Boca Chica. There is just a sense when I read him that he's having the time of his life. And no other analyst is having fun. He, on the other hand, he gets up in the morning and it's like, ba-dum-bum, you know? Ba-dum-bum. He does the...
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-bum. No, he's got... He has personality. He has charisma.
Does. That's why
the fireside chat with QuantumScape was just... That was legendary.
That's why we end up talking about
him. He needs a sidekick. You know? Don't you think he needs a sidekick?
By the way,
I like
it's worth noting that Ford is up 17% this year, but Lucid is up almost 20%.
Well, good. When that January 20th lockup, maybe someone's going to take expiration. Maybe someone takes advantage.
The excitement in EV 17% is not abated. Obviously, we've talked about Rivian, although it came back yesterday.
Well, when you drove in the Lucid, wasn't it one of the most cool things ever?
It was. It was early, days.
I drove one.
Rawlinson was saying, we still got to fix this and that. So I feel like I need to take another ride.
There are a lot of people who got their first ones and they want a little adjustments, but it's a luxury EV. Now, I mean, Mark Benioff has every luxury EV, and what is his favorite? Mustang Mach-E.
He has every one, so he owns them all.
Yeah, he's a test market. Yeah.
He just kind of buys a...
Well, I mean, some of them test, others buy.
Do they have roads in Hawaii where he is?
I can't reveal that.
Or does he just fly around?
What, that SPAC?
I don't know.
No, I mean, look, EV-tol. I like Ford. When you go back to the fact that Mike Chalmers just owns Ford, and I mean, it is our biggest position because it's going up a lot. Are we pigs? I don't think it's valued where it should be. It was undervalued. You're going to get a bigger dividend. But most importantly, Ford has this, you know, under Farley. If they don't make money in it, they don't sell it. So if you take a look at the Mustang Mach-E, it's sold out. They're making more. You know, they are not even calling it. If you put your name down to get the F-150 electric, they've selectively called some back and not others because they can't make it. It took my Maverick. It took me 11 months to get it. I'll make it 10.
Well, it's look at Phillips this morning talking about component shortages affecting Q4 profits. I think Phillips was down 14.
I was shocked that they. I mean, there's a lot of companies that had the like Whirlpool, but you know, Phillips. You know, I'm just looking at hard goods companies, and Phillips is the one that really got nailed. I wonder where the GE is going to get nailed in that division. You know, the GE healthcare division, Dave, has been steady. Oof. Right. Phillips, GE, they're kind of...
No, I know. I don't know the answer to that. It's a good question.
But you didn't even come to me. Where were you yesterday when Boeing got all those orders?
I wasn't anywhere. Meanwhile, Airbus is out delivering them
for
three years running.
But Boeing had good numbers. They sold 737 MAXs. I think that it's time for Ryanair to come in and buy some.
For the record, you're the one who brought up Boeing here, not me.
Yeah, well, I did.
All right, so
I'm bringing up Great American Manufacturers.
Yeah, that's
he brings
not
up
been,
Ferrari.
That's not been a winner, but you'll hang in there.
Boeing is making a comeback.
We're going to get to a bunch of calls, including one in the aerospace, as we see a downgrade of Love. Also, some interesting calls on Lyft, Dash, Shop, Wells, PayPal, I know you're watching, and Take-Two. Take a look at futures here, again, as the CPI hasn't exactly spooked the market entirely. More Squawk on the Streets back in a moment.
You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
Financials are looking to extend their rally one day after posting that fresh record close. And of course, ahead of the big bank earnings due out on Friday. The sector today, entering today's session, up about 6% for the month. And that, of course, outperforms the S&P. We got Citi adding B of A to positive catalyst list. And of course, Piper upping Wells.
Oh, God, if one more bank, I mean, and Betsy Gressy from Morgan Stanley, she had positive things about Wells. This is the, my chapels are started. This is the worst setup imaginable. You have all these people saying good things about Wells and they're canning the overdraft. And then you got Charlie Scharf. Now, he's going to come on the call. I bet you he doesn't give you a single thing that's good. Not one. And so now you have the big setup, almost back to where you were in 2018. And Charlie Scharf will say, you know, we've made some changes. We have a lot of work to do. We're still not where we want to be in the operating ratio. We still have to deal with some of our technology. We're not where we want to be, and we haven't solved the government regulation. How is that a good story?
I mean, most of the upgrades have been about rate sensitivity. It's Citi on B of A saying that they're more leveraged to the long end, and you look at what's happened to the 10-year, they're going to benefit more.
I don't think he's going to say that. I think that's in the future. I think he has to deal with the past. David, this bank is still in purgatory.
Maybe, although the stock has gotten out of puratory.
Well, I know. We own it. I would love to sell some before this.
The investment banks had a great year last year.
Wells doesn't have any investment bank.
No, there's starting to be some reporting now on bonuses, which, as you might expect, are going to be quite strong on Wall Street, even though nobody's in New York City to actually spend their money. I don't know they are.
Maybe you put air quotes around Wall Street.
Well, why wouldn't I?
Wall Street one.
Have you walked outside lately?
I don't know. They got a Lifetime Fitness
here. You can roll the street.
People have to understand. Like when I got down here in 1981, you were afraid to walk because you might be run over by big guys who were trying to get the exchange.
It's a different world. Jefferies, of course, always leads the packet. Now we kind of focus on a little bit. It's a $10 billion market cap company. Stock has had a great year last year. It's going to be down this morning, though, a bit.
Well, that's what I'm
kind
afraid
of a mixed
with
picture. But it's all about 22 now, right?
Well, Jeffries went and ruined PayPal. There was a guy on Brian Sullivan's show saying, look, I think PayPal's the one. I think it's good. And right at the time that Jeffries, the downgrade hit, and the stock was immediately down 8.5. This stock is up 6, down 3.
You're talking about Jeffries' research on PayPal. I'm talking about Jeffries, the company, and its earnings.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to conflate that. I just thought it was a good opportunity, a segue to mention the downgrade.
We'll talk about PayPal again more. We already did once.
Let's go back to Handler.
They increased their headcount 3,800 to 4,500 people. I mean, we talked about, you know, increased costs, but obviously if your profit margins go through the roof as they have, you have the operating leverage to continue to add a lot more people. So we'll see. 2022 is certainly would seem to be, even though the markets are still wide open, perhaps going to be a bit more challenging.
So you think
given the
down.
Record numbers we saw from Goldman Sachs, from Jefferies, from Morgan Stanley, from so many others, and that will result in very significant bonus numbers as well. I want to come to Citi for a second, Jim.
Really?
Because, yesterday they said they're going to exit consumer and small business, middle market banking operations in Mexico. Jane Fraser certainly continues to move ahead in the plan, that kind of, what do they call it? Strategic refresh is what they're calling it at Citi.
Do you know how radical this is?
I think
and
that's
no
a great point.
About.
Yes, and that's why I brought it up, and that's why I'm happy to hear you say that.
Well, look, when Vikram Pandit was running the bank, pre-Mike Corbat, pre-Frazier, I remember he was asking me, what should we do to show how international we are? And I said, why don't you hold an analyst meeting in Mexico City? And they were actually thinking about it because their presence in Mexico was so huge. But then the problem with the presence of Mexico is I knew because I wanted to do I was doing some business in Mexico, and I wanted to use Citi, and you couldn't.
Well,
you weren't allowed them.
It's not.
But
listen,
it was big.
Yeah,
big.
And they still will operate in Mexico. They're still going to have locally licensed banking business in Mexico. But this is a big deal. I mean, remember when they bought these things?
Oh my God, Citi,
and all these franchises down in Mexico.
Citi was so important there, and Carlos Slim talked about buying.
Yep.
The Banamex. I have to tell you that the Citi retreat so far has done absolutely nothing for the stock.
It's had a good move with the rest of the group for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, but it's below its tangible book.
$133 billion market value.
What's the real tangible book?
$133 billion market value. It's still,
they can't buy back. No, the buyback stock.
Blackstone is bigger than Citi.
So Tesla.
Tesla's 10 cities.
Yeah, roughly. Strangely enough. We'll talk a lot more about the banks, what to expect on Friday, some of these bonuses that are being reported at Morgan Stanley. We'll get Cramer's Matt Dash, countdown to the opening bell, and we'll keep our eyes peeled as futures are off the morning highs, 10 years back above 172.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
NASDAQ has put together back-to-back gains for the first time since December 27th. Asia traded pretty well overnight. Actually got some light inflation prints in India and China, but we're still wrestling with CPI here, and the opening bell is coming up in just over 5 minutes.
Let's count you down to the opening bell on what Jim and I like to call hump day here, Wednesday at the NYSE. A little less than 2.5 minutes or so before we get started with trading. DoorDash.
Evercore comes up and says, look, it's time to buy. Now, I like this call because the stock's been in pretty much free fall. A lot of charts like that with Shopify yesterday. And they're saying, look, it's trough multiple. It's actually doing much better than people thought. It's delivering much more than just food, not food doing well. They don't have to acquire the consumer because they already have them. International expansion coming through Wolf. I just think this is a very well-timed deal, particularly because Tony Hsu, the CEO, has joined the board
of Meta.
And I think that he is going to be a known. Remember, he didn't play for dinner. He can stand up toe-to-toe to anyone.
But what about the restaurants themselves, given you're a restaurant owner? If I go direct to your website, although nobody can call, I cut out the middleman, you guys make more money, don't you? And I probably pay less.
DoorDash is, any of these people has saved you if you have no exposed outside place.
Right.
If you're inside, it's kind of inside's a recipe for code because you don't know who has it, all right? Now, I'd like to think when you had tested.
You're open, though.
We are open.
Things are okay?
Good weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah, but I have nice backspace. But I have to tell you that DoorDash was, they got a lot of people's business because they offered a very good plan for restaurants that were struggling.
Well, they also were big in the suburbs, which was
no. Helpful. I used DoorDash at home. I think Tony Hsu's remarkable. I was very, very critical of him when he started because they were taking a lot of money. There was no differentiation, but then there was tremendous consolidation. He offers a great deal, a great plan, and I'm anxious to see what he does on the Facebook board. You know that Facebook board, it's not filled with by any means. with people who are a nice McKinsey person, a PayPal, someone Houston from Halston from Dropbox, Travis, a CFO from Estee Lauder, very good. But Tony is a very, very smart guy.
He's got a founder and CEO who controls the company.
Yes.
Mr. Zuckerberg controls Meta.
And I think that when you have a founder who's wealthy, he can say, you know what, I don't think that's a good idea for small business. I don't think that's helpful. That's why. There. What do you, like your phone?
Yeah.
Like I'm in the middle
phone.
Of a soliloquy. To be or not to be, who are you texting?
I'm not telling you. Carl's got the opening bell for us, Jim.
All right, I'll have my pound of flip.
Let's get the opening bell and the CNBC real-time exchange of the big board. It's ICE Fixed Income and Data Services at the NASDAQ Beauty for Freedom, a nonprofit providing therapy and mentoring to at-risk youth.
They wanted to go higher, Carl, except for Biogen.
Biogen was down 10 pre-market as Medicare is going to limit coverage. Got
you know
a lot
what?
Of attention
this
yesterday.
This was a runaway train, frankly, ever since the FDA approved it. And then the 10 people, very respected people, didn't like the decision, and three of them quit. I remain convinced, and I own it for my trust, that the winner will be Lilly. Now, Lilly's down a lot. I think that's a mistake. David Ricks gave a very good presentation yesterday. J.P. Morgan, and said, basically, look, our tests are very different. They have a much bigger test. They can roll back plaque. The stock's going down, I think, because of guilt by association. But I don't think David Ricks ever intended to charge the exorbitant prices that Biogen charged for a drug that has very specious probabilities.
Yeah, there's a lot in healthcare today. Quest, although... preliminary Q4 results above consensus, down four this morning. Humana buying $1 billion of their $3 billion buyback.
I think Humana was overdone. I don't think that deserved it. I think that was an amazing opportunity to buy UNH. They didn't have that problem. I like Centene very much, Michael Neidorff. They're not going to do any more deals. They have a lot of cash flow. I think that group is very, very solid. Of all those, I think United Health, that was at 500, was stuck there. I mean, that's the one to buy. They're not going to have that problem. And they have Optum. They're really good.
How about Pfizer cutting some sales staff because they believe physicians are not going to want to take meetings from reps in person?
How much money does Pfizer have to make, David?
How much Pfizer? What?
Yes. How much money does Pfizer have to make? Now they're letting some people go. Pfizer's making so much money that people, Pfizer and Abbott. Abbott is making a fortune off the Binex now.
Yes, and Pfizer.
Do you have the Binex now 40 pack where you have just one?
We've got
thing?
Them piled up at home. We've got a pile of them.
How often have you tested this week?
I don't test anymore.
What?
And nor will you?
Please. No.
Please. Why is it?
I don't know. If I don't have symptoms,
you don't
I'm not testing.
Right?
I am not at all. Not in any way, shape, or form.
But you don't test?
I've tested three times
this week.
That's where I am these
days. I have a mobile test.
Don't test, don't tell.
I test constantly.
Now that CNBC knows that, though, they'll probably march me out of the building and force me to test.
Why don't you use your Binex now?
I will. I will if I have any symptoms whatsoever, of course. And or I think I've been exposed.
I had no symptoms when I gave it to Carl. Sorry, Carl.
We barely had symptoms at all.
I know. I think Carson Wentz had more than symptoms because he couldn't possibly have played that horribly if he wasn't sick. Remember, he was unvaxxed and he got Omicron. He played, I hope it was Omicron, not Delta, but he played the way he did for the last year for the Eagles. And I think that when these players who were non-vaxxed and got COVID.
Yeah. That's not good. It's not good.
Exactly.
No.
You didn't even comment on the firing yesterday by the Giants.
Of Joe Judge?
Yeah.
That's five coaches. Right?
Listen, they're not executing very well.
I've been comparing teams to players.
It's suboptimal.
Yeah. I've been comparing the firings to our business. And Flores was like throwing away Shopify. Flores was doing well. That was Shopify. And today we got an upgrade Shopify because you threw the baby with the bathwater.
I agree.
Flores is not.
Well, that was not
Nagy.
Right. Meanwhile, Chargers coach, me.
Yeah.
Come on. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's a indictable offense.
I think that Judge may have been fired.
Taking that last time out.
That
going forward on your own
game.
18. All right, guys. I want to talk a little bit.
Oh, you're going to do DirecTV Dish?
Yeah.
I knew you were going to do it.
I'm going to do it.
Oh, man.
What? Why does that upset you?
Well, because the surprise factor would have been great if you'd said you this is what I really want to do is Crown Castle.
No, listen, Dish shares are up. They were up yesterday as well. And, you know, it's funny. There was a desk, at least one broker who was talking about it. They didn't put anything in print. This idea that, hey, Dish and DirecTV are having talks about merging their direct broadcast satellite businesses. The New York Post then writing it up, saying there are talks. Don't know whether there are or not, but it's certainly on the face of it makes a great deal of sense. You know, TPG, remember when AT&T dispatched that asset? They own 30% of it, but they control it. And when I was reporting on this at the time, the great hope for any owner of that asset is that you could combine it with Dish because the synergies are enormous, the cost saves are enormous, and you create a great deal of value from it. If you're Charlie Ergen, you are probably needing some money to continue your build-out plan on 5G. I mean, we've been waiting for some big press release, some big announcement of a partner there. You know, there'd be all these rumors, oh, will Amazon come in some big way? Will somebody give him big money? Because it is not cheap to build out a nationwide 5G, even if it's going to be focused on enterprise, wherever they're going to focus. It costs a lot of money. He's been able to raise it in the capital markets to some extent. I think he'd hoped his stock price would go up. Maybe he'd be able to raise more. That hasn't been the case. But again, structure of a deal with DirecTV, do you just merge it in if he wants control? Would he really monetize? Anyhow, not to mention getting a deal done with Charlie Ergen is probably one of the single most difficult things to do in business. So we watched just shares up, but we will remind people of how difficult it can be to get a deal done with Mr. Ergen. There still might be some antitrust, although it's hard to imagine. And there is going to be pressure on that business that is the future for Dish, which is namely creating a 5G nationwide network, as they have said they will do and have certain timelines to do it in, and raising enough money to be able to fulfill that promise.
It's so expensive.
Yes. Yes.
They obviously must sit there and say, look, we don't have the cash flow to build it out the way Verizon does.
That's the key point, Jim. I think, you know, there are ways to do things and architect things that aren't perhaps as expensive, and you don't have to be quite as robust in certain areas, but it's still a lot of money. Right. Even at the lowest numbers, we're talking 10. I don't even know what the numbers are. No. It depends on who. Haven't had a chance to talk to Mr. Ergen, and again, no comment here on whether. I don't know. I thought we would have sat down and done something. I always enjoyed that. I enjoy his company a great deal. I'm glad I never had a negotiated transaction with him, though.
But didn't you think that, I mean, for instance, the Apple story, Major League Baseball, came and go. Came and went.
Yeah. What's the point on that, though?
Well, I just think that this football package is worth a fortune.
I see.
I think, especially with, you know, we're talking about the number of people who play fantasy in this country is extraordinary. And the fact is that you have to watch even the worst fourth quarter there is because of fantasy, Carl. So it's a pretty good business because you have to watch the ads. You have no choice because most of your players, you got to find out whether it's a garbage play. If you have a great receiver, even if the team's losing, that guy's likely to get passes. The idea of people don't talk about the amount of money that the why football has been so good. I think it's fantasy.
No, it's. There's no mystery why the league has embraced it. It keeps you watching no matter what the score is.
Yes. Yeah.
Jim, they're buying the Octas, the Docus, the Workdays, the Data Dogs. I guess, you know, Tom Lee had an interesting point about some DMARC sequencing on the NASDAQ, arguing that's the first confirmation it's bottomed. He says deleveraging because the Fed is nearly done. You agree?
I think that it can pause. I don't think it's done. It pauses and it lets these stocks go back up. But again, let's take Okta. That's a good one because I've been out there many times. Todd McKinnon. It is the number one way to be able to identify yourself. It's got a passport. Basically, the way you get into an organization is that you pretend to be somebody else. And this is one that you can't get in. They're losing a ton of money. So I don't think it's going to end. It's going to come back to its high. I just don't. I think that Salesforce can because everyone thinks that the acquisition they made, that MuleSoft's not doing well. My understanding is that's not the case. The understanding that Slack may not be that great in acquisition, my understanding that's not the case. But my understanding about the chart is it's miserable. And, you know, there's too many people who are just looking, Carl, at the chart and just saying, I don't want to touch this stock. And I think that's a shame. That's not the right attitude. Now you have to look at the fundamentals because everything's down. And I'm not getting a sense that Salesforce is doing poorly. I'm just not getting.
Yeah. That's interesting. Even the Snowflake upgrade from Barclays we mentioned, they go to overweight, but at a lower target. Instead of 393, it's 367.
I wouldn't worry about Snowflake. Frank Slootman is not going to let you down. He is just too much of a visionary about the cloud. And everybody loves him, by the way, even though he's a tough guy.
Yeah.
Because what he did with ServiceNow was incredible.
Created a lot of value.
He's a value creator. He usually doesn't get into these larger companies. He likes to be in smaller companies. But this is his baby. And if you read the book, David, I got an autograph copy.
Yeah, I'm not going to be.
My copy is autographed.
We already talked about that. Not reading.
You're probably reading, like, the latest. What are you reading?
Right now, I'm actually reading Private Kingdom.
What?
Steve Cole about ExxonMobil.
Well, you're doing a special.
Stop.
What'd I do?
Nothing. I'm just trying to learn.
I'm doing a special
on
Chevron.
I love reading books like that. Huge, enormous tomes on corporate America. They're really interesting.
There aren't that many of them.
I'm not reading Frank Slootman's book, though. Can we talk about Robinhood for a second? Did you see that they're going to keep everybody remote forever?
At least they have people.
We're excited to announce Robinhood will be staying primarily remote.
Excited. Now, that's the kind of thing that I've come
in
to
December,
learn
we Robinhood. Shared with our employees our mission to democratize finance for all started with our people, and that meant bringing in and supporting Robin Hoodies, that's what they call them, who can best help drive our mission forward, no matter where they're based in the country. And now they say they've seen what flexibility looks like and trust in allowing their team to do their best work, attract top talent, create a workplace that's more inclusive and equitable. And so they have a primarily remote approach forever.
Just the opposite of what they should be doing.
Well, it's clearly the opposite of what Jamie Dimon argued on Monday.
Absolutely. I mean, look, the idea that we're happy about remote, that's ridiculous. What you really want to be is, if you're Robin Hood and you're in crisis, you want to be together as much as you can and try not to get people sick. Robin Hood needs to get its act together and get its clients to stop trading Dogecoin and options so much. Dogecoin's a huge part of their business. I was working on a piece for Mad Money on how to fix Robinhood, and I gave up.
You think DraftKings and Robinhood will ever merge and just make it?
The problem with DraftKings is
like
17
the same
other outfits.
Thing, doesn't it? I mean,
did it feel like Robinhood?
No, because DraftKings. It's like, am I betting on the game or am
no,
I?
No, because Jason. You mean like in terms of the gamification?
Yes, yes.
Look, I met with a very frank 19-year-old when I said, why did you go to Robinhood? He says, I got tired of Candy Crush.
Yeah.
I remember that.
That was a tough interview.
Yep. So Dow's up 90 to start the morning. Still to come, the CEO of Novartis as the J.P. Morgan Healthcare Conference enters day three. Let's check on bonds, though. Obviously, it's going to be key to see how rates normalize today. We're hanging in at 172. And with that, the S&P came off of 4740, about a one-week high. Be right back. Day three of the J.P. Morgan Healthcare Conference. Meg Terrell joins us with a special guest. Hey, Meg.
Hey, Carl. Dr. Vas Narasimhan, the CEO of Novartis, joins us now. Vas, it's great to see you. Thanks for being here. You know, I want to start by the news you had this week on a potential COVID drug that you in-licensed from Molecular Partners. The data look really good, kind of similar to the antibody drugs. How quickly do you think this might be able to get through regulators and out to patients?
Hey, thanks, Meg. Great to be here, as always, with you. This medicine in Envisobep is pretty exciting. It's a novel technology called DARPin. It's a designed anchorin repeat protein that can target the COVID spike protein in three different locations. And what that allows this medicine to do in every in vitro test that we've done so far is to be able to neutralize all of the COVID virus strains of concern pretty consistently. Now, this was the first data we have clinically showing that the medicine is able to reduce viral load, speed up recovery time, and have a 79% reduction in hospitalization and death. So right now we're moving towards a filing with the FDA for an emergency use authorization. Our goal is to scale up manufacturing to begin to have supplies in the first half of this year with more scale up for the second half of this year. And the real vision here is to have a medicine that can be used, hopefully independent of which strain COVID may mutate to in the future.
And I understand because of sort of the way this drug is manufactured, you might be able to make it more quickly in larger quantities. What kinds of, you know, dose levels are you expecting in terms of the number of courses that could be available?
Yeah, you know, it's a unique manufacturing process versus antibodies. So rather than using mammalian cells, it uses bacterial production, which allows us to scale production, bacterial cell production, which allows us to scale up production to much larger volumes faster, also has higher yields. I think it's too soon to say exactly how much we could produce this year, but we certainly think we will be in the millions of doses, so more than a million doses. And really now the question is how fast can we bring that forward? Again, assuming we get regulatory approvals and other necessary support from the U.S. government as well as other governments. But we're certainly doing everything we can to scale up manufacturing as fast as possible.
And I understand Novartis is also working on perhaps a pan-coronavirus oral medication as well, which perhaps could go into clinical trials this year. Just tell us about kind of how you're looking at COVID and what solutions are going to be needed for it going forward. It doesn't sound like you think this is something that we're going to be done with at any point soon.
Well, certainly we've learned that pandemics are likely to be with us in one form or another, and certainly coronaviruses. And the idea here is one of the critical proteins for coronaviruses, independent of the type of coronavirus, is called the main protease. And our hope is by designing a drug for that main protease inhibitor, it would be effective regardless of which coronavirus strain might come in the future. So whether it's a SARS, a MERS, a COVID, something else down the line. So we've been working on that now for about 18 months. I've identified a development candidate. We're working towards now getting that into the clinic. And then hopefully we'll have data over the coming years, I would say, to really get something forward. But that would give us an option for future pandemics. And I think both with the first medicine, Ebesobep, as well as this one, we're trying to take a longer-term view to provide solutions to the world.
Well, a longer-term view is something that I think a lot of people would welcome, especially as we're seeing what's happening with testing right now. I also want to ask you about some other news of the day, which is the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services coverage decision on the amyloid antibody drugs for Alzheimer's disease. You know, I wanted to ask you about this because you and I spoke after Biogen got that accelerated approval back in June, and you noted, okay, there's this pathway perhaps for drugs in neurology, and maybe this is something that everybody in the industry should be looking at. Does the strict coverage decision from CMS change the opportunity you think you saw there from the FDA at all in neurology?
Well, I think it's a unique set of circumstances we have here, one that certainly people who have been in the industry for long periods of time have not really seen before, where you have a set of trials which weren't always going in the same direction and some data that's somewhat hard to interpret. I think what it points to is that even in neuroscience, we need robustly done studies that demonstrate not only a biomarker benefit, but also a clinical benefit for patients, for payers to want to cover a medicine. I think it also does point to the challenge we face that there are moments where the regulator has a view and then reimbursement bodies have a different view. This is something we've contended with in Europe for many years. In general, we would be proponents for regulators and reimbursement bodies to try to align their perspectives. I do think, though, this is a pretty unique circumstance with respect to the data and, of course, now the outcome from CMS.
All right. Well, Vaz, we got to leave it there, but we'd love to have you back because there's a lot more to talk about with Sandoz, the proceeds from your Roche stake sale, lots more. So, Vaz, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Meg.
Carl, back to you.
Megra, thanks to you. A reminder, you can get in on the new CNBC Investing Club with Jim. Sign up and find out more at cnbc.com/investingclub or use the QR code on your screen. Dow's up 180. Be right back. It's time for Jim and Stop Trading.
A lot of headliners out there in San Francisco at the conference, JP Morgan. How about a non-headliner? How about J.J. Bienname from he is from BioMarin. Had him on last night. He's got a hemophilia drug that I think is going to be gigantic. Stock's not up nearly what it will be. This is just a colossal drug for a company that's really emphasized orphan drugs. So people ought to recognize that maybe this was the star of the show.
Got to give you a shout out because you
yesterday you called the eye on rates normalizing and that growth bounce. Oh. And does it continue?
Yeah. I mean, I think it can. I think that people have to recognize that this was a rate tantrum and it was not followed up by a Federal Reserve chairman who said, look, he was clearly not tone deaf to what's going on in the rate market. And a lot of people said, well, he doesn't care about stocks. What he cares about is stability. He just wants stability. And he wants workers to make a lot of money. And he certainly wants workers to make more than the inflation rate.
Right.
So he has to do something. But he's not doing anything drastic. And I think he knows that the numbers are going to come down. And when the numbers come down, people are going to go back to work. You're not going to have these stories. You're not going to have the Robin Hood story about people
never coming in. Listen, there are plenty of people who believe that that is going to actually attract talent for companies that say you have complete flexibility to work from wherever you want.
Dogecoin? They're being paid in Dogecoin? Since that's like the principal
thing
they trade.
We may be dinosaurs, my friend. As I like
to say, we are not dinosaurs. We are not dinosaurs.
I continue to say, they ruled the world for 300 million years.
Well, they had their time.
Yeah. And it went on a lot longer than most likely Homo sapiens are going to go on.
Okay.
That said, how about the market?
Yeah.
A lot of volatility. This year, is that going to continue? I mean, we're back to almost flat on the S&P.
I think it's going to be an exciting year. There's going to be periods where people are going to come on our show and say the Fed has to take action. They're behind the curve. And then the Fed's going to do the right thing. And those guys are going to say he's wrong. And COVID, Powell can't please anyone except for me. I'm completely pleased.
Yes.
Although he's got CDC, total white hair. He's got no
CDC, Powell, two different animals in your
yes.
view. Yes.
No, Powell's got it dead right. And he's no Dogecoin fanatic.
Speaking of dinosaurs and carbon, you got Devin tonight.
Well,
right?
Devin was the number one performing stock in the first quarter. It was a great story last year. And it's all Rick Moncrief, who's changed the whole paradigm. Saying, listen, we got to return money to shareholders. We can't just be the way that the late Aubrey McClendon was, which is drill, drill, baby, drill. He is a remarkable man. He is by far the leader in the oil patch. I love the guy.
We'll see you at 6.
Thank you.
Mad Money, 6 p.m. Eastern time. You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate. Pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.